7 today, Romans chapter 7. I'll give you my title a little bit later in the message. I usually give it at the start, but it'll spoil all the fun. And we'll get to it in a while. And Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and I'm going to start at verse 18 and start reading there. It says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." So he says something here. He says, you know, I find in me, I find a desire, but how to do that desire, what I want to do, is not working out very well. "For I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will, to desire to do right, is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But I find a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's our memory verse. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Let's pray and we'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. We pray that the Spirit would now speak. We pray that we would hear from you. We pray that, Lord, we would have a clarity from the Spirit, and that we would understand our nature and the what transforms us, what we need to do to be different, and how we need to grow, Father. We need your Spirit to guide us. We need the Word of God to... It's a little bit of a difficult passage, Father, that we have here to understand, so I pray that we'd all understand it. I pray that anybody who doesn't know you as Savior would come to know you. I pray that those who know you would come to know more victory and to know how the victory comes from ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'm going to be reading here. And as we look at this passage here, notice it says that we desire to do good, but we often do the opposite. The Bible says, "God worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure." When you accept Christ as your Savior, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. That Holy Spirit begins to work in you to make you want to do right. Okay? And so you have this desire to grow. You have a desire for the Bible. You have a desire to clean up your life. You have a desire to help people. And these things come from the Holy Spirit. He works in you to will, to have the desire of his good pleasure. But that does not mean that you have the character or the strength to do it yet. It's God that both worketh in you, both to will, that's the first part, and to do of his good pleasure. So there's a two-step process. The will is the first part, but there's a lot of people who will but don't do. A lot of us have had times in our life where we wanted to do right, but we couldn't find a way to do it. You might be sitting here today saying, I want to do right, I love God, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I just don't do it. I know what to do. I know what I want to do, but somehow my body doesn't seem to want to agree with that and want to do that. And you'll find that you have a desire to do good. And Paul said, "The good that I would, that I do not." Verse 19, "For the good that I would, and then he's saying, the good that I want to do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And he says, "I don't want to do this, but I do this. I want to do this, but I don't do that." And it's a very difficult thing for him. And he struggles with that. And And you do that. I want to say it's usually easier to do wrong than right. You got to know that. Because if you don't understand the truth that it's easier to do wrong than right, you usually don't do the right things in order to do right. You think you just keep on telling yourself you're going to do right. And then you don't do it. But you're going to. And you'll keep living that way until you realize the easy thing is to do wrong. Okay? Somebody walks up and slaps you across the face. Is it easier to give them your other cheek and let them slap you or to slap them back? Okay? You sound a little too happy about that there. But it's easier to slap them back. Okay? And you don't want to do that, right? But you don't want to do that, but you do it, and it's easier. Is it easier to sleep in or and watch football or go to church on Sunday? See, there comes a time when eventually you get to the point where and we'll get to that later. There comes a time when it gets in your character to do something and you're just so used to doing it, or because the preacher's so amazing, you want to come on to church more than watch the Seahawks. And amen. Okay, good. You all stared at me like and laughed. Makes me nervous. But there's a time when there's Sundays and you wake up and you say, I'd like to go to church today, but I don't want to go to church today, but I want to go to church today. And it's easy to do wrong. When you slam your finger with a hammer, you don't say, well, praise the Lord. That's not what's easy. What's easy is to say something else. That's what's easy. See, there's this thing where even though you don't want to do that, it just happens. It's usually easier. Now, that changes at a certain point and where you want to do right, and it's easier to do right in many cases. But you have to understand that. It's harder to hold your tongue than it is to speak it. It's when you shouldn't. There's an evil part of all of us. It's called our flesh. And God separates it here. I want you to notice how he comes, and this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he separates his flesh from what his soul and his spirit and his desire to do something. And he says, there's something in me that's warring against me. It's a war, and it's separated there. And he starts separating out. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Okay, you have a part of you that is rotten. Okay, it's rotten. I know in my flesh, that's your physical part, your carnal part of your body, the worldly, that in me is something that there's no good thing in it. You understand that? Your fleshly desire is what makes you cuss. Your flesh wants to get revenge. It makes you angry. That's your flesh. That's the flesh the Bible talks about. For all that is in the world, 1 John 2, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. You have to understand, the problem isn't the devil out there, and the problem isn't out there. The problem is you have part of you that's messed up. Now, that's not what we like to hear. We want to feel good, and I'm good, and I'm this, I'm that. No, you have a part of you that there's nothing good about it. Fortunately, when you die and go to heaven, that part's done away with. Your flesh is left behind, and you get a glorious new body, and all the bad desires of the flesh are gone. But it's part of us. Look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so there is an evil part of us. We need to be delivered. You ready? You need to be delivered from yourself. Amen. That's the problem. Is the part that makes you, when you want to do this good thing, you want to be a good parent, you want to be a good you want to be, and your flesh just says, I want to just tell them off. I want to do this. I want to get revenge. I want to be mean. I want to hurt people. That's part of you, and you got to be delivered from yourself. Okay, And that flesh is part of it. And so he kind of divides himself into parts, if you can see here. We need to be delivered from ourselves. And then, by the way, that's the Apostle Paul talking. If he's that bad, and he needs to be delivered from himself. Now look at verse 20. Now, if I do that which I would not. So if I do what I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So in me is something that's sinful. And it's really not me, because me, I don't want to do that thing. But there's a part of me that's not really me, because it's not my will. I don't want to do that. But it's so strong, it conquers my will. You follow that? You ever get your will conquered? You want this, but you do this? You ever say, I shouldn't say this, I shouldn't say this? And you say it. Because whatever that thing is that's evil in you, and it's not a demon, because we're saved, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, you can't be possessed. It's not the devil inside of you. He says, in me, in my flesh dwells no good thing. You've got a part of you that's the problem. And so after concluding that, it's not me. My will says don't do wrong. I delight after the law of God. I want to do right. But in me dwells no good thing. There's this flesh. That is me. That is my flesh dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. So then he comes to the thing. He says, to will is present with me. But how to perform that which I want, I don't know. Because it's me that's the problem. So how do I get delivered from myself? That's the problem. How many know you're the problem? Okay? You know, nobody can make you do wrong. They can influence you so that you really, really want to do wrong, but ultimately you'll make the choice. They just influence your flesh. That part of you that's bad, they are reaching into that and touching that and stirring that part up. And so that person goes and cuts you off on the highway, and your flesh says, I want to ram him. And you get that. That's your flesh. That's in you. But that person cutting you off stirred up your flesh. And so you have that problem with you. So then he gets almost in despair. He cries out, who's going to deliver me from me? Because I'm stuck. I can't get away from myself. Everywhere I go, I'm there. Aren't you glad he came to church to learn that today? I told a guy that one time. He everywhere he went, he just was a mess. And everywhere he went, it caught up with him, and he just became a disaster. And he was telling me, I'm going to move. He said, I found a great spot in Oklahoma, and it's this and that, and it's going to change into this, and this is opportunity, and I won't have this anymore and this anymore. I said, you know, there's only one problem. I said, there's something that's going to be waiting there for you that's going to ruin everything. And he said, what? I said, you. I said, wherever you go, I guarantee you're going to find yourself. And so, so many people, I just got to get moved. If I just got out of this house, just moved to here, if this was this situation, just that. Now, how long have you been saying that, right? Keep on finding yourself everywhere. It's because the problem's in it. So watch how he feels this despair. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's my own body. It's my flesh. Who's going to deliver me? But there is hope. The good thing is, he gives us hope. Because what it sounds like he asks here is he asks, oh, wretched man that I am, what shall deliver me from this mess? But that's not what he says. He doesn't say, what shall deliver me? He says, who shall deliver me? That's the key to the message today is it's not what, it's who. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I serve the law of God. With my flesh, I serve the law of sin. So I have these. I have this problem, but you know what? I can be delivered. Then the victorious, our memory verse there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to say, there is great hope because there is a who who can fix us. That who is Jesus Christ our Lord. God can deliver you from you. He can make your flesh be overcome and make your spirit and soul so strong that you control your flesh without a problem. But you've got to walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. Watch all the who's here. Watch how he's talking about somebody delivering us. And watch how he's talking about it's not us, but somebody can deliver us. Who shall deliver me? In verse 24, verse 25, I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. Chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now we have Jesus mentioned twice. He takes us from all condemnation. He takes us from all of that. The next verse, he talked about the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, the commandments of the Bible, the Old Testament, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So in other words, it's saying there, hey, the Old Testament, all the commandments of God could not fix us because there was a weak link. It was called our flesh. We would not fulfill the law. We would sin. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So all sin is now in the flesh. This part of us that is corrupt, it is all part of the flesh. It is no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now sin has been separated from me. It's condemned to the flesh. It's not part of my soul anymore. My soul has been washed clean by Jesus Christ. And now I have a spirit and a soul that are good and clean. And sin has been condemned to the flesh. When I die, I'll be in heaven. And without this body will be corrupted down in the ground. And it won't be there. And the Holy Spirit will set me free. For what the law could not do, and it was weak to the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, keeping the commandments, might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Remember, the flesh is our enemy. That's where the sin comes from. It's the part of us that is corrupted and wrong, and all the sin has been condemned to that one part of us is the flesh. If you walk after what your physical body desires, if you walk after your fleshly desires, you're walking in the flesh, and you will be defeated. You will always do what's wrong. If you do what you want to do, and that becomes your life, and you walk after the flesh, if you do what you always want to do, your flesh is very strong, and it's used to getting what it wants, and you will always do wrong, even though you don't want to, because your flesh is too strong. But if you walk after the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, and the spiritual things, then you're a transformed person. The righteousness of the law is done by you, verse 4. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, verse 6, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, wait a minute. No wonder a martyr can just say, kill me. It's just my flesh. Where we who are really fleshly would say, no, no. Because we're all about our flesh. In the Bible, your flesh and satisfying it and what you feel and what you want and what is fun and what is entertaining and what your lusts and all that stuff is minimalized in the spiritual realm. If I have to fast for this, no big deal. It's just food. Food! Fast! I eat fast. That's the only fast I'm doing. And because you're fleshly. We're all fleshly. And it's hard not to be fleshly in America because we get everything we want. You understand, people in history, they had to deny their flesh all the time. Work was hard. Life was hard. They were hungry a lot of times. There was diseases. There was terrible things. You broke your bone. You didn't get set right. You had to limp the rest of your life. Everything was hard and difficult and a strain and hard physical labor and pain. And now, if you can't find your remote, you're freaked out. I mean, if all of a sudden, if it's 2 degrees too warm in a room, everybody's like, if it's 2 degrees too cold, it's like, Because we're so fleshly. Everything's got to be just right. This food is too cold. You have good food in front of you. Quit whining. This food's too hot. I mean, you know, you're the Three Bears. It's... We're so fleshly that we got a bunch of people, because they never deny their flesh. They walk in the flesh. They think about the flesh. They feed their flesh with bad entertainment and bad things and all that stuff. That when it comes to, all right, here's the flesh. Flesh is over here going, let's do it, man. Here's your spirit. Let's not do that. And you walk after the flesh and you don't, I don't want to. And the spirit says, I don't want to. But the flesh says, come here, you're doing this, come here. Because your flesh is so strong. That's why third world Christians are usually way better Christians. They're used to suffering. Their flesh is not as fulfilled all the time. And so they do that. So how do we deliver ourselves, seeing we're in this situation where we get spoiled, we get everything we want? Well, it keeps on telling us. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a spirit that dwelleth in you. There's a who. The Holy Spirit will help you conquer your flesh. And pretty soon, you are able to say, I know you want to do that, flesh, but we're not doing that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to go, no. Because the Spirit is stirring your life, and the Spirit has stirred you up so strong, and your spirit is so strong at this flesh that used to control you now is conquered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, therefore we are debtors, not verses Romans 8, 12, not to live after the flesh, not to the flesh, live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, there's your tool, the who, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify means put to death. It's where we get the morgue, mortuary. In other words, you take your flesh and say, you're not going to control me today. You know what? You don't want to get up this morning. You get up at 6. That's a time in the morning, but, you know, sun's rising, you know. And the sun does not pop up at noon, just so you know. And you're getting up at 6 because you don't want to. You know what? You're just a little too much in control, flesh. You're going to take a cold shower today. Flesh, you know what? You want to say this. You're not going to say anything. You're going to keep your mouth shut. And you, through the Spirit will say, do this. I'm going to lead you to this. I don't want to do that. He says, I know, I'm making you die. The part of you that's the problem is dying. I'm going to beat it up for a while. I'm going to send you a person at work who's going to drive you crazy, and you're going to bless those that curse you. And it's going to teach you to die to yourself. And the Spirit leads you and strengthens you. And if you walk in the Spirit, you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Spirit is now delivering you from the part of you that's the problem. But you can't do that. Your flesh is too strong. You can't deliver yourself. Everybody wants some method. Everybody wants the book. Everybody wants the 6 quick steps to becoming a great Christian. Listen, it's not a method you need. It's the Lord. You need God to deliver you from yourself. Victory is not you overcoming sin. It's God overcoming you. Everybody's trying to overcome sin, overcome sin, overcome sin. Listen, you're just jumping from one sin to the next. You finally conquer that one thing you couldn't conquer, and now you got pride about it. Because you're jumping from one sin to the next. Okay? Because it's still you there. You've got to have the Lord. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me from my flesh? The Lord, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and it's God. Let's look at Romans 8. God will deliver you from you. It's the person. I want to say this. It's not a method. It's not some cute idea. It's not some self-help book. You need the Lord to deliver you. That's what you need. And I know churches kind of go with these cute programs and all stuff. Listen, cute programs without God are nothing. Amen. You need the Lord. He can transform the worst of sinners. It's the Lord. Romans 8. And go forward Look how we can have victory. See, this is not a hopeless thing. It's an awesome thing because God's going to deliver us from us. Romans and chapter 8. Let's look at verse 31. What shall we say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice, if God be for us, we are conquerors through him. Listen, here's a great thing. I found out when I tried to be a good Christian, I'm weaker than I thought I was. I'm a terrible Christian. Man, I said, Lord, you ought to zap me any day now. I am pathetic. I mean, I act like I want to serve you, and it's little tiny stupid little sin, and I can't. You ever just really be honest and say, I just got conquered by that? I'm pathetic. And you go, and if you don't do that, by the way, if you don't do that, what you do is you say this: I'm a really good person, and you know what? I've got these couple things, but those couple things aren't that bad. I'm not like those people. Their sins are bad. Do you know they're saying the same thing about you? Amen. Why is it your sins are never bad and everybody else's are? Think about what you've just settled in and say, I know, but you know, it's just me. And that little thing conquered you? Because we're weak. And thank God it's not hopeless, because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Lord can deliver you. I finally threw up my hands and I said, Lord, I got rid of this and this and this, and that's pretty good, but I got this and this and this. And then I found out things were sins I didn't even know were sins. And I found out this is too important to me. I need to get rid of this. And the Bible didn't even say that. There's enough in here. You know why? I found out that I was pretty weak. And finally I said, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to, I'm just not strong enough. You've got to help me. And when you do that and let the Spirit control and let the Lord deliver you. Now you do your part. You do what you can do, but there's a lot you won't be able to do that God has to do. And that's a deliverance that comes from God. So how do we do that? How does God deliver us? 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which always giveth us the victory. We are more than conquerors through him. You can conquer yourself through God and the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. It said Jesus here. It said the Holy Spirit. It said we are more, if God be for us, the Trinity, God himself is the one who must deliver us. It is a who, not a what. Don't sit there, what can I think of? What can I change? Maybe I just will this in. And if you've tried it and you can't, then you need a who, not a what. And it's refreshing for me to say, all right, now at least I know it's just, I quit thinking in circles now, because I know what I need. I need God to intervene in this. He needs to help me conquer the bad part of me, and we need that. So how do we do this? Look at John 15. I'll just show you to John 15 and explain it to you a little bit. And how does God work in these things? Well, we read first of all, and I'll just give you the first point we already read. The Spirit helps you die to yourself. You know, when God's leading you to do something you don't want to do, you say, why can't I just do this easy thing? That's exactly why. The Holy Spirit will be in a process constantly of trying to lead you. And you'll know, God wants me to talk to that person. I don't want to talk to that person. God's telling you, go apologize to that person. I don't want to apologize to that person. Why apologize to them? They should apologize to me. I just did this little thing. They did this. God says, yeah, but it's going to be really good for you. Amen. How many don't want to apologize to somebody? All right. I understand. First thing you do is let God lead you and make you start dying to yourself. He's been trying to do it, hasn't he? He's got some things he's trying to make you do. And you're saying, that's not that big a deal. It is. Because it's just a process of you dying to yourself. Go serve that person. You know what I'm talking about? Just little things. Just God just saying, you know what? Don't turn that on today. Don't watch that today. But it's the big game. Yeah, you're going to die to yourself. Well, that was even less popular. I thought I was bad with the apologies. I didn't say Seahawks. Maybe somebody else said Seahawks. All right. I guess I'm San Diego. I didn't say Chargers to you guys back there. All right. For John 15, how is God going to deliver us? It's so simple. It's so great. It's so easy because we've got a who can give us all that we need to transform us. John 15, I am the true vine, ye are the branches, or my Father's husbandman, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Okay, so we know without God we can do nothing. All right. Have a little branch here. It's from a blackberry bush. The scientific name is Pocumus muchimus. And so we have this branch. And this branch here was connected to a big branch that went into the ground. Okay? Now, let's pretend like this is, I'm poked right now. I'm gonna hold this for me. It's this guy's plugged in the ground here, and this is the ground. Okay. Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." Okay. Let's say that this thing is plugged in the ground, and through this is the vine here, and these are branches that come off it. So this is Jesus. This is you. It says what you have to do is abide in the vine. Why? Because the vine has the life in it. The vine has the roots. The vine has the life. The vine has the nourishment, the water, whatever. And so the branches, if I take this branch off, now this branch might say, "I need a way to get myself life. I'm withering. I'm dying. I need a way to do better." And you don't need a way. You don't need an idea. You don't need a method. You need plugged into this guy. Okay. I have hybrid trees at my house, which has some, like I have Asian pears, and there's five different kinds of Asian pears, or different branches that are grafted in, okay, into the main tree, and so all those produce fruit this year, five different types of fruit, but they were plugged in to the trunk of the tree, and they bring forth life. I want to say this: the life that you need is not your will, it's not your wisdom, it's not your strength, it's not a brilliant idea. What you need is the life of Christ. The Bible says this: he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that formed us. I think that's what it says. Through the knowledge of him who loved us, that's what it is. And so he's given us everything we need for spiritual life. See, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. In him was life, and the life is the light of men." Jesus is what you need. You need him. You need the Lord. But he says, "I'm the vine. My Father's a husbandman." And he says, the Father prunes them. If you bear much fruit, if this thing has got a bunch of blackberries on it, he would come in and prune it back there so it could be more fruit. That's God making changes in your life and producing things. But I want to say, people think the Christian life is you by your will going and stopping sinning. That's so a small part of the Christian life. That's all just a result of a good Christian life. The good Christian life is abiding in Christ. It's being close to the Lord. He didn't say, "Keep my commandments and you'll be great." He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's a result of a relationship. See, you have to go back farther than just, "I've got to quit doing this thing." You got to go back to, "I need to be close to God, and this thing's getting in between me and the Lord." It's bigger than just stopping a sin. The Pharisees stopped sin. But they were just proud and arrogant and unspiritual. It is more than you just. I know what stands out to you is, "I got to stop doing this. This is terrible. I'm cussing. I'm screaming. I'm yelling. I'm beating up old ladies. Whatever you're doing, and you're being terrible and you're doing this stuff, and you got to stop that. Stop beating up old ladies. Okay, I'm not saying keep doing that. Don't do it. But that thing just what stands out to you. But it's a symptom of. The life of God's not flowing through you. You're not in love with Jesus enough to stop that. You can't stop drinking because, well, You've just not got close enough to God to be satisfied from Him. You know, the Bible says that come you might have life, might have it more abundantly. You just find out that when you get close to Jesus, you are satisfied from the inside out. You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. You don't need stimulus. You don't need TV. You don't need entertainment. You're just at peace. You have joy. You don't need all that stuff. And you got it. But He says here, I will change you if you'll abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, it says, you bring forth much fruit. Fruit is good things in your life. It's producing things. But He says, without me, I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. I want to say, you cannot become a good Christian because you decide to. You become a good Christian by plugging into Jesus and letting God change you. And that's, see, our whole philosophy as a church, what we've always done with people is very simple. We know we can't change anybody. We can't change ourselves. Our job is to get people to Jesus, and Jesus changes them. We teach them about Jesus, they get saved. Now they've got God inside of them. That's a great start. But then we get them a Bible. Read your Bible every day. And we get them to pray. Why? Because they're going to get around Jesus that way. God's going to be speaking to them through the Bible. They'll be speaking to God through prayer. And they are getting with God. You rub shoulders with God, you become godly. You become transformed. You become different. And so, they need to abide in Christ. Your key to conquering you is that the Holy Spirit leads you, but then the key you've got to do is you've got to abide, remain, be close, be plugged into Christ. That's what's going to deliver you from you. God's going to do it. The Lord's going to do it. You and I need the Lord. This church is nothing without the Lord. You and I are nothing without the Lord. Doesn't matter if we have all the tapestry and all the fancy things and all the, it doesn't matter. You can carry a nice Bible and you can look right and dress like this and do, listen, without Christ, you're nothing. A church is nothing. I'm nothing. We're all nothing. And so what we need, what this church needs is God. We don't need more money or a fancier building or a latte stand. Okay, we need God. What you need is not a better idea and just get away from this person and all of a sudden get a better job and then your life will be great. You'll still be you. You need God. He who shall deliver us, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So He says, abide. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I in the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Verse 9, as my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see the word abide? Abide, 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 abide. And if you will abide, you'll bring forth much fruit. You will be transformed. Abiding. What's the word abide? A word abide is an ancient word for means to remain and continue in something. Okay? You've been in your job 30 years. You've abided by that job. You've abided in that job. Okay? It's staying somewhere continuously. It says, stay, abide in me. If this branch right here does not abide in the vine, it dies. This branch, if this thing is plugged in the ground, this branch is going to live. Why? Because it had such a strong willpower? Because it was so smart? No, it was plugged into the life. Isn't that simple? You've got to abide in Christ. You've got to remain in Christ. I like simple things. Now, let me give you, I'm just going to give you how to abide in Christ. I'm going to give you several things, the way you do it in the Bible. They're all pretty simple. They're all over here. First of all, you got to be saved. Bible says in Romans 8, 9, we were there earlier, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you are not born again, you cannot abide in Christ because you're not in Christ. Your sin separated you from God, and you are completely separated from Christ. You must be born again. If you do not come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not plugged into Christ. You will never get the life of God in you. You will never be transformed. And worst of all, when you die, you're going to go to hell. But nobody wants that. God doesn't want that. I don't want that. You don't want that. You got to be saved. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior today, the Lord loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants to wash your sins away. He wants you to give you a home in heaven. But you have to trust Christ as your Savior. You have to realize you're a sinner who doesn't deserve heaven. That sin has separated you from God, and Jesus died for that sin to make himself the only way to heaven. He was buried, rose again 3 days later, and he is the Son of God and the Savior who died for your sins. And you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need Jesus to save me. When you do that, you get the Holy Spirit, and now you can abide. Okay? That's the first step, is being saved. You say, well, I'm saved, Pastor, but, you know, I'm not bearing much fruit. Okay, there's other things. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're abiding in Christ. But people get a long way from the branch. First of all, we are saved. Secondly, we stay in the Word. John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. We emphasize it so much, but we're going to keep emphasizing it so much. You need to have a relationship with this book. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, this word brings forth fruit. You need this. You need to stay in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about remaining in it. He says, in his law did he meditate day and night. You need to be in the Bible all the time, not just on Sunday. It's not enough. Listen, we'll feed you and you'll get the Bible here, but it's not going to be enough on you. Listen, you need the Bible day and night. You got to memorize it. You got to, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You need to have the word of God constantly. I'd recommend you get it on MP3 and play in your house sometimes. I'd recommend you have it in places where you sit. I recommend you just put it on the countertop. I recommend you have a scheduled time every day where you read it. I recommend you memorize verses and just have that flow in the Bible through you. Listen, the Bible says there's a washing of the water of the word. It cleanses you. And we need some cleansing. You need the Bible a lot. You need to go to a church that uses a lot of Bible. You need to be around the Bible all the time. You've got to remain in the Word of God. Memorize some Bible songs and sing them. And sing those Bible songs. And we sing them sometimes and our dumb projector doesn't break. And listen, I want you to realize you need to be in the Bible all the time. If you're not abiding in Christ. You're flowing away during the week. Spend time in the Bible. It'll transform you. Spend time in the Word. Do you know people who read the Bible? Jesus said this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. You know, I find this. Somebody will tell me, oh man, I got this issue and this issue. They're new Christian or just coming back to God. I've got this and 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 this. I've got all these issues. Hold on for a second. I can't tell you how to overcome every single one of these right now. You know what you do this week? Here's a Bible. Read it every day for a half hour. Now, I didn't give many instructions. You know what they come back next Sunday and say? You know what? I had a really good week. I stopped doing this and this. You know why? The water, the word just changes you. Abide in the word. Abide in the word. Just stay plugged in. Listen to preaching. And that'll help you. The word all the time. Next, stay plugged in by constant prayer. Remember, we're abiding in Christ. We're remaining in him. Well, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Just pray a lot. I think you gotta have a separate time every day scheduled where you have a time alone with God. Enter in your closet and shut the door, the Bible says. I think you gotta have that, but I think you gotta be praying all throughout the day. Pray over your food. Tell God, boy, that was frustrating. Lord, which route should I take to go home? Lord, boy, I'm hurting today. I'm really feeling sad about this. Lord, I pray this would work right. This is frustrating me. Lord, I'm just having a rough day. Father, I just pray you just bless my family right now and help them to do well. Lord, help so-and-so to get saved. Lord, bless the church. And Father, I pray you be with this missionary. Just be praying all the time. You're remaining in Christ. Just keep on praying. You don't have to pray in church. You don't have to pray at a scheduled time. You know what? You know those red lights that last forever? We have one right up here. Every time I go there, I have to shave when I'm done. It's just my whole beard. And the light lasts so long. You know, maybe you'd say, every time I get a light red, I'm going to make that in my prayer time. You know, whenever you want a red light, what happens, right? They're all green, okay? But you should just pray all the time. Drive down the road, see someone who looks sad. Instead of saying, man, what's wrong with them? Say, Lord, bless them and help them. Be praying for people. Just pray all the time. Get a prayer list. I made a prayer list before. I ran off copies, reduced copies that were, you know, small size. I put one in my visor in my car. I put one in my Bible. I put one in my peachy. I was in high school. I put them all over the place so I could just, whenever I had breaks in time, I just open up and start praying through my prayer list. Pray a lot. Stay in Christ in prayer and in Bible time. Next, go to his greenhouse constantly. What's God's greenhouse? It's called a church. That's where people are supposed to grow. You know what? Jesus said, I walk in the midst of the church where two or more are gathered. I'm in the midst of them. You want to go and grow? Go to a good church that's preaching the word. And go, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God at home. How's that working for you? Those people say that and, you know, yeah, man, I don't need to go to church. I'm victory at home. Man, who that? Hey, knock it off, you stinking blankety blank blank. God designed church. In the Bible, they went to church. It's telling it. In the Bible, they went to church every day. You got to be in church at least Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. You got to be there. Go to church. Be there. You grow. And it's where Jesus is dwelling. He says, I'm there in the midst of them. You're plugged into Christ. Go to church constantly. I had to go to church. I was so weak. When I got saved and became a Christian, I was such a mess. Man, when those doors were open, I was there because I needed to be there. And it helped me. Got me away from my bad friends. Got me in a good atmosphere. Heard the preaching. Learned the Bible. It's great. Go to church constantly. Next, don't wander away. I say the problem with backsliding is you don't know how far you're going to backslide. You just got on a sled on the top of Mount Rainier and said, I think I'll stop in about 40 feet. Well, you might. Yeah. You might also might fly. Listen, do not. When you get away from Christ, you say, I'm not going to go to church for a while. I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to get away for a while. I'm not going to pray. You go on vacation, don't take your Bible with you? Are you nuts? Don't backslide. You think, oh, I'm just going to be fine. I'm going to do this and I'm going to come back to God in a month. No, no, no. You're unplugged and you might die. Abide in Christ. Do never wander away. Do never backslide. Do not go away from Christ. Remember, this is all about a relationship, not religion. Right. This is about you and him being plugged in together. He doesn't want you ever to leave him. He wants you to stay close. He will bring forth fruit and conquer you, and bring life to your life of death. But you've got to remain in Christ. You have to do that. It's a relationship. Next, stay yoked with him. And this is the one that few people do. I'm going to read in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We'll finish up here. Matthew 11. Stay yoked with him. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, get in the yoke with me. You want to see, we know what the yoke with God is. A yoke is where two oxen or two cows would hook together and they'd go around their neck. And God says, hey, I'm in this yoke. Get into my yoke. Not your yoke of your life. Get into my yoke. And yoke up with me. My burden is easy. It's light. Why? Because you're pulling with Almighty God. It's like me and the strongest guy in the world lifting 500 pounds. Okay? So, he says, I'd say, man, that's not too hard. And so when you go and yoke up with Christ, that means you work with him. You plow the fields. When you get involved with Christ and doing his work, helping people, making a difference, winning souls, helping people be disciples, lifting the fallen, feeding the hungry, whatever. When you're working with God, you're yoked up with him. You're abiding in him. I used to work on a dock, and we hauled everything in the world. Hard. I mean, every shape, every size, any gigantic, big electrical boxes, all the way down to little containers of hazmat chemicals. We hauled everything. And at one point, these are big guys generally on the dock. And it was a lot of heavy stuff you had to move. One day we had a load of light poles. They were probably, I don't know, they weren't that long. They were probably from one side of this room to the other. And they were steel, and they were metal, and they were heavy. They're probably 500 pounds. So they were on my trailer, and so I went and got a couple of the guys because they're just too heavy to move, and there was no way to get them on the forklift. And so I went over and grabbed a couple guys, and these guys are big guys. Big. Probably one is probably 6'4", probably 350. He wasn't all muscle. And the other guy's maybe 6'2", and just big, big, burly guys. And here's me at my 5'8". And so I said, all right, let's get these guys and we'll grab them. So we walk over, and there's about 8 of them. So we walk over, and one in each end, I'm in the middle. We lift those poles up. Well, the pole wasn't even on me. And so I thought, well, this is too good to say anything. So I just put my hand underneath it and walked along. And I hear them going, man, these things are heavier than I thought. Good night. And they're groaning. I walk over to the trailer. Walk over there, and I just groan with them. Okay, put them on the ground. All right, go back to the next one. They're going, these things are heavier than I thought they were. And I walk back. We grab the next ones. We walk over there, and they're going, good night, these things are heavy. Walk over. And we just keep on moving. I just keep on going. I'm thinking, these guys are so dumb. I can't believe how dumb these guys are. And I started feeling a little bit guilty, you know, after we're almost done. And I started feeling a little bit guilty. So on the second to last one, we started walking. If we're in a line, I'm in the middle. And I just went like this, put a finger underneath of it. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, I can't tell you what they said. The one in the back behind me said, but he said, stop, stop, put this thing down. And we put it down, and he starts cussing me up and down. He says, you stink of my... He yells and cusses me up and down, says, isn't that... Move yourself! I still only got one more, man. Just help me. And they... You know what? I was doing very little. It would bounce a little bit in the middle, and I would just have a little bit of weight on my shoulder and stuff like that. But you know... They were carrying the load. Why? They're bigger than me. Moral is, at work, slack off as much as you can. Make everybody else work. And the moral is, when you hook up with Christ, when you live for the Lord, when you abide in Him, He changes you and He carries the load. Aren't you tired of saying, oh, I keep on trying? How about you realize it's not something you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to get a book. I'm just going to get some new 16 ways to have victory over sin. Okay, keep on trying those things. But you know what? What you need is you need a who, not a what. Who shall deliver me from the body of this sin? I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. You need to just get close to Jesus, and He'll change you. You need to get close to the Lord, and He will transform you. You'll just say, fruit is coming out. I'm bearing fruit. Look at this. You don't say, a branch doesn't say, oh, let's make an apple. Okay? It abides in the branch, and the life just flows in it. It just happens. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you bring forth much fruit. He didn't say because you're smarter, stronger, intelligent, or have a good background, it didn't come or came from a good family. He said, if you abide in me, Jesus can change anybody. You need a who, not a what. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you. We get to see that you made a way for us, Lord, to deliver us from ourselves. Oh, it's wonderful to be delivered from our own selves, Lord. I pray that we'd get the victory through Jesus Christ. I pray, first of all, Lord, if somebody is not saved today, I pray that they would come to Jesus so they could be delivered. But I pray for those of us who struggle against ourselves, we would just realize that sin is condemned in the flesh and that we just need to get close to you so you can deliver us from ourselves, Lord, because it's us that we can't get away from. So we need you to deliver us from ourselves. May we have victory in this. May we decide to abide in Christ because you're the one who can change us. We thank you for the word, Lord. We thank you. It tells us that thank you. Thank you we're not on our own. Thank you we're not guessing of some way. Thank you those of us that are weak don't have to rely on all of our own strength. And there's things we can do, Lord. We know that. But the biggest thing we need to put the effort forth is, Father, is to get close to you. And I pray today we decide to do that. Thank you for your word that tells us this. Help us to realize but that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's not a struggle. It's a victory. And thank you that we are more than conquerors to Him that loved us. Help us to live it. Help us to abide and remain in Christ. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.